Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Today we are going to study 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 22 and 23. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 22 and 23, we read this. Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." Now, in this particular passage of Scripture, you're right in the middle of a context here. Samuel, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, gave Saul specific instructions to wipe out the Amalekites and everything they have. Verse 3, "Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." Well, Saul didn't do that. They saved the best of the sheep to sacrifice to God, and they spared the king, King Agag, so he did not follow the voice of the Lord. When Samuel confronted him, he said in verse 19 of 1 Samuel 15, "Wherefore then did thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord?" And Saul said unto Samuel, "Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal." And that's when Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." So what we're going to look at today is we're going to look at this obedience and disobedience thing that show up in this particular passage of Scripture, and we'll notice right away just the piece of obedience that we want to study shows up in verse 22. The Lord has greater delight in obedience than he does in sacrifice and burnt offerings. Now I'm going to tell you something about yourself, because it's something that is an element of human nature. When you are ready to disobey God, then you will think of some way to sacrifice in order to make it up to him. And once that becomes a pattern of behavior, you actually think that God accepts it. That's what's at the root of religion. You know, when you look at Cain, for instance, when you look at Cain and you see what he did in Genesis chapter 4, he offered a sacrifice, okay? And when you look at that sacrifice, you think what a great thing he's doing, because he is literally sacrificing of his hard labor and the fruit of his production to the Lord. In Genesis chapter 4, the Bible tells you that Cain is the first one to offer, not Abel. And when he offered the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Now that looks like a good thing to do. Of course, if you study the passage, you understand there are some implications, but watch this. When you go to 1 John chapter 3 and you look something up about Cain's behavior, when you look at something about Cain concerning his relationship to God, you get a completely different view. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 12, the Bible says, speaking of loving one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Do you understand? There are some things about Cain that you don't see in the first part of Genesis chapter 4 when he offers the sacrifice in verse 3. The Bible says that Cain slew Abel because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. In other words, that's before. His works weren't evil because he slew Abel. His works were evil, and therefore he did kill Abel. So he had evil works, and he was offering the sacrifice to make it up to God. Do you understand? That's an element of human nature, to do something wrong and then offer a sacrifice to make it up to God. It's the root of religion. And that's why religion doesn't work. The only sacrifice that God will accept for sin is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ at Calvary. And that's not something that he did because he had been bad. That's something he did because he was good, and he did it for people who were bad, who would rather sacrifice than obey. The Bible says you must be born again. Now obey that verse of Scripture and accept the sacrifice that God has already performed for you, and forsake religion. You see? And most people don't want to do that. They get mad at you, like Saul got mad at Samuel for pointing out that they would rather disobey God and offer the sacrifice than they would to obey God and accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. God does not have delight in offerings and sacrifices when they are used repeatedly to cover your disobedience. There are numerous verses in the Bible on that problem right there. Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8. Psalm 50, verses 8 and 9. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 3. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 11 through 17. Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 22 to 23. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 6 through 9. You read all that. You say, boy, you sure read that fast. Well, we got to move on. Here's the deal. In seeing those sacrifices that are mentioned in those passages of Scripture right there, the Lord gets an attitude when he realizes that you're bent on continuing to do something wrong and simply offering the sacrifice to appease him. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 11, the Lord raises this question, "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks and of lambs and he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood." You see that? I'm telling you, man, when the Lord has had enough of it, he cannot stand it anymore. He just gets sick of it. And that's what happened here. When Saul came up there and said, "Oh, well, we kept the best of these things because we're going to sacrifice of the Lord thy God in Gilgal." Boy, I mean, Samuel wanted to just come down on him with both feet and a sledgehammer to boot, because he knows the Lord, and he knows that he is not at all pleased with that type of attitude, those types of sacrifices. Okay? He wants obedience, and he deserves obedience, and obedience is the right thing to give. He's so clear on this all through the Bible, the things that were written that Saul would have had at his disposal at that time, and he would know exactly that the Lord wants obedience and expects obedience and demands obedience and deserves obedience. Deuteronomy chapter 10, for instance, in verse 12 says, "Now Israel, what doth the Lord require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God?" Saul didn't fear the Lord God. He feared the people. He even says so. He says in 1 Samuel 15:24, "And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. And the commandment of the Lord said, Fear thy God. Walk in his ways. Love him. Serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes." That's what he says in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. You see, that thing is predicated on obedience. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 13 at verse 4. Deuteronomy 13, 4. "You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave unto him." It couldn't be any clearer. And yet Saul says, "I think, in my opinion of myself, out of my fear for these people, the best thing for me to do is keep the king alive and offer these sacrifices to the Lord God. Oh, and we'll make it so good, we'll offer them in Gilgal." After Saul had already built his own altar in the prior verse. Come on, man. The Lord knows what's going on. And let me tell you something. He knows what's going on with you. You pull that kind of stuff with the Lord is having none of it. You think you can live like hell 7 days a week and go to confession and make it all up to him and go to communion the next day and somehow or another everything's going to be okay? You know in your own heart of hearts that doesn't work. You're willing to live that way because you fear the men who have put you under that type of religious system, but you know it's wrong. The Lord wants obedience, and to obey him, you got to change your ways. You got to take up with being born again and quit trusting baptism and your good works and all these other things that you do, sacramental things you do to get to heaven. You know that. The Lord does not delight in your offerings and sacrifices. He delights in your obedience. Okay? You say, "Well, what if I decide not to obey him? What if I decide to go on like Saul and be disobedient?" Then here's the problem. Your disobedience, first of all, is rebellion. That's right. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. It's rebellion. That's what it is. Basically, you look at the law that God says and you say, "I don't want to do that." You're just like a child. Listen, you've either been a child or you've raised children or you've been around kids, and you know that element of human nature that rests in those children rests in your heart. When somebody tells you, you got to do something, there's something inside of you that says, "Nobody's going to tell me what to do." That's the cause of a rebel. I've got a good friend of mine, and when the seatbelt laws came out, he said, "I'm not going to put that on. I bought this car. I paid for the license. I paid for the gas. This is my car, and I'll do in my car what I want to do." And I don't blame him. I understand that attitude completely. Telling people what to do all the time. He gets in the car and drives around like that, but he also has it. He's working for the fire department. He runs the jaws of life, and he begins to see a trend. The people that are trapped in their cars that are dead or so seriously injured that they have to live with the consequences of their injuries for the rest of their lives weren't wearing their seatbelts. The people who are walking away from these accidents or recovering from less severe injuries and who are not dying are wearing their seatbelts. And he said, "You know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm going to start wearing that seatbelt." And after a while, he said, "You know what? I think that's a real good idea. I think they ought to make people wear those seatbelts." And he suddenly agreed with the law. Why? There is just an element in us that says, "Nobody's going to tell me what to do." You've got it in you. I've got it in me. And the Lord said, "But when I tell you what to do, you better do it." And he told Saul what to do, and Saul said, "I'm not going to do that." So he says, "We're just going to take those up Gilgal and offer those there, and God's going to be so pleased with our great sacrifice and our great honor to him, and we'll keep old Agag alive, and And that'll be a testimony to everybody else. This is the way we treat our enemies. And see, Saul came up with his own ideas about how he was going to handle the battle after he'd been given specific instructions by the Lord and by Samuel on what to do. That's a rebel. That's rebellion. That's disobedience. Listen, in the Bible, when you find that type of rebellion, you know what happens? It gets punished. You know what the Lord did to those Jews that were out there in that wilderness because they rebelled against him? He made sure that every man that was a man of war, 20 years old and upward, died in the wilderness except for Joshua and Caleb, because they wouldn't go into the land when the Lord was ready for them to go in there. Listen, Moses was a man that spoke with God face to face and mouth to mouth, not in dark sayings, not in similitudes. And you know, the Lord gave Moses specific instructions to speak to the rock the second time. The first time he struck it with a rod, but the next time he says, speak to that rock and it'll give out its water. That's what he said to do. And so you know what? You know what he did? I'll tell you what he did. He didn't speak to the rock. He struck it twice after being told to speak to the rock. This is Numbers chapter 20, verse 8. And you know what the Lord did? The Lord said to Moses, you're not going in because you believe me not, Numbers chapter 20, verse 12, to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation to the land which I have given them. He rebelled against the Lord. This is his man, Moses, and he wouldn't let him in. Listen, rebellion is what you're doing when you don't obey the word of the Lord. But that's not all. You know what else is going on here? Disobedience is like rebellion. It's like witchcraft. You say, well, I am not a witch. He says, in my book, one is the same as the other. There you go. You ever look around and see these witches, this Wicca stuff that's going on around here? When you don't do what God tells you to do, you're like that. That's what he says. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. See, the problem with you and the problem with me when it comes to the Bible is very simple. We still want to do what we want to do, and we don't want to do what we don't want to do, and we don't mind pointing the finger at people who don't do what we think they ought to do, even though we're not doing what we're supposed to do according to the words of God. And that's simply because we get our own perspective on what God said rather than what he said. And when you see God's commands according to what he said, it takes on a whole new meaning. When a person rejects Jesus Christ and does not become born again, they are like a witch because they have rebelled against the commandment of God. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. But that's not, and by the way, do you know what kind of treatment witches got in the Old Testament? He says, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. You understand? God doesn't look kindly on disobedience. And God does not look kindly, okay, on witchcraft and rebellion. There was a fellow that rebelled against the commandment of the Lord in the Old Testament, picked up sticks on the Sabbath day. You know what they did? They stoned him to death. You know what happens to a teenage kid in the Old Testament who won't obey the words of the Lord God? His parents are supposed to take him out and tell everybody, our son is a drunkard and a glutton. He's a rebel. And you know what they do? They stone him. God doesn't look kindly on that kind of thing at all. You know what they do, as I said, to witches Exodus 22:18, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. This stuff is bad. And that's what Samuel is trying to convey to Saul. Not only that, he says, you're like an idol, an idolater, who's stubborn in his iniquity. Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. That disobedience is stubbornness. And you know what all that is? I'm going to get my way and do what I want to do. You know what the Lord said about about Israel? He said, you're a stiff-necked people. You're always wanting your own way. You know what goes wrong in churches that have a long-standing history of doing well and then suddenly down the road they don't do so well? Men get overly familiar with the things of God and treat them the same way they do business decisions, and men get in and start forming committees. As a friend of mine said, deacon bodies become deacon boards, and they start running the church the way a business is run. And I realize you have to administer the affairs of the church. Don't get me wrong. What I'm saying is, you can't run it as a business and leave out prayer and leave out leadership of the Holy Spirit and leave out preaching and all those other important things. And I'll tell you what, when men become overly familiar with the things of God, like Saul did here, thinking he got so overly familiar with the things of God, he could determine what things to sacrifice and whether or not to leave that king alive. Let me tell you something. You become stubborn. You are not going to be happy unless you get your own way. And it drives churches to split. I get telephone calls from preachers. And they'll say, you know, we got this and that situation going on. I know what's, you know what it is. There's Saul in there. And he wants his own way. He's stubborn, and he is going to make a scene if he doesn't get his way. People start giving into that thing, and the next thing you've got is a stubborn, rebellious witch inside the congregation. And no wonder it's so hard to get anything spiritual done in there. That's the problem. And it all stems from disobedience of God's words. Rebellion, witchcraft, stubbornness, and idolatry. You know what the Lord thinks about idolatry? Just read the Old Testament. Listen, every time that sin shows up, God is wiping out people. 3,000 people died when they got into idolatry with that golden calf after Moses was up there getting the Ten Commandments, fasting 40 days and 40 nights, and Aaron made that calf. Jeroboam put those two calves, one in Dan and one in Bethel, and that sin of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, survived through every king that ruled in Israel until God just wiped them out and sent the Assyrians in there to stop that idolatry. Do you know what that idolatry is going to lead to here shortly? The worship of the Antichrist and his image, just so people can get something to eat when they take the mark of the beast. And you know all of that stems from? One common problem. Disobedience. If you want the Lord to delight in you, obey his words. If you want to have a head-on collision with God, then you know what? Do reject his words. That's right. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23, rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he's also rejected thee from being king. It's rejection, plain and simple. When somebody gets into evolution and says, oh, God didn't do that, we can't teach that in school, you know, because that'd be religion, we can't do that. Listen, if it's the truth, why would you lie to the students and say they got here by another means? All that is the rejection of the truth. It is the rejection of the word of the Lord. Say, yeah, but we got to have separation of church and state. You're not forming a church when you tell a child the truth. You know what you're doing? You're forming a cult. When you lie to him, get paid for the lie, and teach him he got here by some other means that you cannot even prove. You're a rebel, just like a witch. People say, I just don't understand why we have all these problems with school shootings and everything. Because you've been rebelling against the word of God and following witchcraft and stubbornness and iniquity and idolatry. That's the root. Disobedience is the root problem. And you are not going to dress it up any other way and make it look better in hopes of somehow or another improving society. I dare say that most of the scientific things that are going on today do not need the theory of evolution to support what they're doing in genetics and in solar work and in oil and all that other kind of stuff. You don't need to go back there and say, well, 2,150 million years ago, this is what happened. That's a lie. It's the fear of men that scientists that have now become accepted within their field, and they wouldn't dare say that they believe in creation for fear that their peers would not recognize them and review their work. That's cultish. Do you understand? And Saul had that very problem going on in his kingdom. He said, man, these people here, I fear. I'm going to lose the support of these people if I don't go along with them and keep some of these things for a sacrifice and keep this king alive. And so he had a head-on collision with God and met up with this problem, and God said to him, I've rejected you from being king. Let me tell you something. Do not disobey the words of the Lord. Do you understand? Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our broadcast ministry or Bible Believers Baptist Church, we have two websites that are available to help you. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. In the meantime, stay tuned each weekday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on KCTA for The Unknown Bible. Hallelujah.